The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Be able to make you living with your brains and not your brawn like I have to do. And that inspired me. Well, that inspired me. So just as a little kid, I can remember, just a little kid getting some words of inspiration. So you never know what kids are going to pick up. This little girl, Lynn Morris, I mean, she had every reason in the world to be a failure. And a school teacher took an interest in a little girl, and her life is an amazing story of success. In the Thanksgiving Day thought, I ran across this little story. It said a little boy offered up a Thanksgiving Day prayer for the family, and he prayed this: "Dear God," this is Jimmy. Kids do that a lot. You know, they introduce themselves. Sometimes you might have to do that if you haven't prayed in a while. "Dear God," this is Morris or whoever it may be. "Dear God, this is Jimmy. Thank you for Thanksgiving and for Christmas and for all the holidays. Thank you for the turkey and the dressing and Mom and Dad and even for my little sister, even though sometimes she can be a pain. Thank you for books and for TV and Game Boy. Thank you for loving us. Oh, yeah, take care of yourself, God, because without you, we're sunk. Amen." I mean, that's a great Thanksgiving Day prayer. To God, take care of yourself, because without you, we are nothing. Absolutely true. So the first thing I want to talk about Jabez is Jabez gave thanks because God determined his future. And let's go back and we'll unpack some of this passage of Scripture we read earlier. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. You know, let me back up here. I got ahead of myself on this overhead. Jabez gave thanks because God finished what he started. Okay, now I'm back on track. And here we go. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. And we're talking about finishing different than we started. I was impressed when Sean Payton was brought the Saints to the Super Bowl, and one of the things they told about is he taught them to finish strong, and that they really inspired that idea in them. And we need to inspire that into ourselves, especially some of us getting older. We start thinking, well, you know, the clock is ticking away, and you know, what's going to happen to me in the end? I'd like to think I'm finishing stronger than when I started. And actually, I'm getting healthier. I shared with you, my blood pressure is perfect. My acid reflux that I've had all of my life is completely gone. I'm feeling really good, so I'm thinking, you know, I'm getting better. You know, instead of getting worse, I'm actually getting better. So I encourage you to do that. Jabez understood this winning principle of being better than you are today. Today shouldn't define you, but you should be willing to be better tomorrow. You know, if you quit learning things, you just well hang up your spurs. You ought to be learning things every day and getting new ideas. In fact, I learned something this morning that I didn't know. I'll pass this on to you. I was listening to David Jeremiah, and he was talking about forgiveness, and he said that, you know, some people can't forgive themselves. And he said when he counsels them, you know, and he tells them that God forgave him. He said, yeah, no, God forgave me, but I can't forgive myself. And this is what I learned. He said, did you know that there's nowhere in the Bible where it says that you should forgive yourself? And I thought, I never thought about that, you know? So the idea of forgiving yourself, that's not even a concept in the Scripture. We always go to God for forgiveness. But learning things and letting, you know, I started putting in the bulletin a book of the month for you to read. You ought to, if you know how to read, you ought to read. You know, if you don't read, you are an illiterate person. It's just the same as not knowing how to read if you don't read. And there are so many great books to inspire you. I'm inspired. I read books every day. I'm reading something because I learn from it and get inspired. It helps me live a better life. And if you're not reading, just read the books once a month that I'm putting in the bulletin for you. This one, The Whisperer, by Mark Batterson, it will inspire you just to hear stories about how God works in people's lives and how God wants to work in your life, and that you can hear God. You know, so often we think, well, God doesn't speak to me. Well, God's speaking all the time, but sometimes he's speaking in a whisper and you're not being quiet enough to listen to hear what he's got to say. So this idea of improving ourselves day by day and not letting the past define who we are. Maybe you could be like Johnny Cash's song, you know, he's a boy named Sue. And when he finally caught up with his dad and whooped up his dad for naming that, he said, well, I did that so you'd grow strong, you know, having to defend yourself. So I don't recommend that, but in today's environment, that's probably pretty common, and I don't even know about it. But Jabez's mom didn't hold out much hope for him, but he turned out to be one of the most well-known men in the Bible, as people have learned about the prayer of Jabez. Maybe she was in a lot of pain, but he didn't have to live that way. A guy I used to know, he used to go to a Bible study that I conducted, and he was an alcoholic. And he said he always wanted to be a drunk. And he said the reason he wanted to be a drunk because he wanted to be just like his dad. That was his motivation in life, to be a drunk, and he achieved his goal. So setting the right kind of goals for your kids and your grandkids, but setting good goals for yourself, to be thankful that God is working in your life. This word honorable that is used to define Jabez here, it means that he was distinguished above others. So he was a distinguished man. People knew who he was. He was a man in the neighborhood that people knew and recognized, and they honored him. See the big change that can take place? Just talk about thankfulness for just a minute. Now, I said this is why being thankful defines you. If you can't find something in your life to be thankful for, you're defining yourself as a despondent person. And you will drift off into great depression because of that. But if you can be thankful for the little things, I always joke with people, they always ask me, I run into people that doing any given day, and you know, how you doing? And I say, I'm doing great. I got up this morning, I still know my name. You know, just kind of, I say it as a joke. But if you can get up in the morning and you know who you are, if you can walk, I mean, you've got something to be thankful for. One of the prayers I love is in the Psalm 100, where it says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And that ought to be a way we start the day. God, thank you that I could wake up this morning. Lord, thank you that my back's hurting, but I'm moving. You know, maybe I've got to take medicine. Thank you, Lord, for medicine. Thank you for blood pressure medicine. Thank you for whatever kind of medicine I need to take. Lord, thank you that I can get up, that I have a telephone to call someone or someone to call me. There's so many little things that we could be thankful for. I've told you this before, but in the book of Hosea, God really ripped the people of Israel. And this is what he ripped them for: not realizing and being thankful for all the things that he did for them. And in that book, it lists all the things he did. He said, I gave you sunshine. I gave you rain. I give you food to eat. I give you family. And he lists all these things. And so if we have the mindset of being thankful for those, it'll change our outlook to be optimistic. You'll be the half glass full mentality instead of the half glass empty mentality. See, it's a very simple thing, and it begins right up here. One of my jobs that I believe is a teacher and a minister is to change the way that you think about things. If I can change the way you think about anything, I'll change the way that you believe about something. And if you change the way you believe, you'll change the way that you act. So it's change the way you think, it'll change the way you believe, it'll change the way you act. Your personality can change. One of the things I discovered when I studied psychology in school is that psychologists don't believe you can change. They believe you live on a continuum of the worst thing you'll do and the best thing you'll do, but they believe you're trapped in that like an animal in a cage and you can't get out of it. That's why so many psychologists can't help people and psychiatrists can't help people, because they believe that. That's part of their training and they teach that. But what I discovered in the kingdom of God is that we can move out of that continuum. We can do things that we never dreamed possible in our lives. We can do good things. We can touch people's lives. You want to get encouraged? I'll tell you a good way to get encouraged. Just go to the old folks' home. Just walk through the place and you'll walk out praising God that you are not in the old folks' home. One day, when my dad was in a nursing home, and I went to visit him every day, and it was the most difficult time of my life. I just hated going there. But there was a lady in a wheelchair, and she was just always hunched completely over. Her head was almost in her lap, and I never saw her, you know, when she'd come in to eat and had someone to feed her, and she never said a word. And she was coming by, and the orderly was pushing her by the table where I was with my dad. And I was trying to encourage my dad, and I was trying to encourage myself, to be honest with you. And I was singing just a little song. And, you know, I think it was just, when we all see Jesus, what a day of that rejoicing that will be. In my little scratchy voice, I was singing it. And as this lady came by in a wheelchair, she stuck out her hand and grabbed the table where I was sitting, which stopped the orderly from pushing her. And she looked at me. And so I was just kind of stunned, but I just kept singing. Her whole countenance changed right before my eyes. And tears started running down her cheeks. And she had the most beautiful blue eyes I have ever seen in my life. And when I got finished the song, she was looking at me, and she turned to the orderly, and she said, "Do you think he could sing another song for me?" And I did. And I finished the second song, and she rolled off with her head up. And from that day on, whenever I'd see that lady, she'd stop me, and she'd ask me if I'd sing a song for her. You see how it doesn't take much to be thankful? I've remembered that lady all these years. Just sing a song with someone. Sing it to yourself. You know, sometimes we need to encourage ourselves to be thankful. Things are not as bad as you think they are. If you don't believe that, trust me, things could get worse. It could. You never know what the next phone call is going to be. You never know. Who was it? Somebody just told me. I told Pat about it. Mike Walker told me. His mother stumbled and fell and broke two ribs. I mean, she's already old and, you know, can't get around very well. Stumbled and fell and broke two ribs. And you know how painful that is? If you don't know about pain, broken ribs are one of the worst pains you can have. If you ever bruised it, you know that. And so things can get worse. Rejoice and thank God while the sun's shining. You know, because maybe tomorrow you won't be able to be as thankful as you are today. So if you start that, it'll change your whole outlook on life. You'll walk out of this building feeling better about yourself. You'll be feeling better about your life. If you got things that that are worrisome? Of course, we all do. You know, my feet are killing me. But you know how I encourage myself? Now, just me. I'm not saying you should do this. But if I take ibuprofen, my feet feel great. They really do. But I just don't want to take ibuprofen to make my feet feel better. So I just say, Lord, I'm going to church with feet that hurt, and I want to stand up and preach. You're going to have to take care of my feet. And I wasn't even thinking about it until I just thought about it. So sometimes if you're having an attitude of entering God's presence with thankfulness, and then he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, enter his courts with praise, and just praise him. God, I worship you. I thank you and worship you for my life. Thank you for my family. I thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my parents if they're still alive. Thank you for your children, grandchildren. Thank you for a house to live in. There's so much to be thankful for. I wasn't going to tell you the story. I've told this before, but maybe not all of you have heard it. There was a guy that Pat and I used to go to church with. His name was Leonard. Leonard had palsy, and it was really, really bad. I mean, you could barely understand him when he spoke, and he was always, you know, his body was like this, under control. His wife had an accident or a stroke, I'm not sure what it was. She was paralyzed on one side. It was terrible to see these two people, but they were in church all the time, and they had four kids. And Lenny told me this story one day. He said, Pastor Morris, Helen and I had the most wonderful time of prayer yesterday. And I said, is that right, Lenny? He said, we were feeding the kids and we were at the dinner table. I started thanking God for everything he had done for me. He said he started praying so long that the food was getting cold. And he told the kids, y'all go ahead and eat. And he and Helen went back and thanked God in the bedroom for over an hour for everything he had done for them. What an inspiration. I mean, these two people were living in abject poverty. And he prayed so long, he had to tell the kids to eat. So he went in the room and prayed by himself with his wife. Thanksgiving, and a heart of thanksgiving, will define who you are. He was one of the most optimistic people I've ever met. We were having a garage sale one day, and Leonard came by and had some ties we were selling, and they gave him the tie. You think you were giving him $1 million? He said, oh, God's so good, he lets you have this tie. And now he's given it to me that I can enjoy it. A mind of thankfulness will define you. Okay. Second thing is, Jabez gave thanks because God determined his future. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. He had his mind set on God. Jabez had a future, a vision for the future, and a fading memory of the past. It doesn't matter. You've heard this more times than you can count. You've heard it in songs, you've heard it from preachers, you know, you've heard me say it. You know where the past is? It's non-existent. It doesn't exist. Whatever your memory is of the past does not exist in your life other than a memory. You know where the future is? It's non-existent. It's something you think might happen. But what you have is right now. And it's in this place called now. If you just start enjoying where you are and being thankful for where you are, stop worrying about the past, you can't do a thing to change it. One thing about life, it's got no oops button. You can't go, oops, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Once you've done it, it's done. So just go on with your life where you are. There are good memories that can encourage you, and there are bad memories that you need to let go. and just stop thinking about them and think about what God is doing in your life today and pray to God with an idea that God just might do something special. Miss Rose gave a testimony this morning. Prayed for her brother. The doctors say no. God say yes. Just says yes. She prayed in faith, and she had a testimony this morning of a miracle. They don't tell people with strokes that very often. You know, nurses in here know that more than I do. I mean, that's a debilitating thing that can, cripple you for life. And yet God intervened. He told him he had a good brain. I need to go see the doctor. I'd like to get that same report, that he's got a good brain. And I'm not always sure about that. Jabez was thankful because he looked to God and looked to the future. He prayed in faith to God, to the God of the universe. There's a book, it's called God's Presence or In the Presence of God. A.W. Tozer, what's that book that we like? A.W. Tozer's book, The Presence of God. Practicing the Presence of God. And in that book, he asked this question, how big is your God? God will only be as big in your life as you want him to be. If you got a God who's a little stick man this big, that's how you'll pray to a stick man. But if you see the God who created the whole universe and everything is under his divine control and you can ask for anything, there are no limits to what you can ask God for. He doesn't say, well, you don't ask for that because it's too big for you. You can ask for whatever you want. Don't be like the guy who fell off the cliff and grabbed onto a branch and was hanging there. You remember that guy? You know, and he's falling. He said, God, help me. And God said, turn loose of the branches. He said, anybody else up there? You know, I said, don't want to do that. But living a life of faith, trusting in God, believing that God is bigger than the circumstances that you're living in. Don't let your circumstances define who you're going to be tomorrow if God gives you a tomorrow. I saw a guy who had been in a plane crash. He'd been in two horrific accidents, a plane crash and an automobile accident. He was in a wheelchair, and they were interviewing him. And they said, and he had a real optimistic outlook. And they said, how can you be so optimistic? And he said, well, you know, I used to be able to do 20,000 things. Now I can only do 15,000 things. I mean, that's a good attitude. You know, well, yeah, maybe I can't do as much as I used to do, but I can still do something. My dad was 80 years old, came and stayed with us in Slidell, and I went outside. It was early in the morning. I was looking for him, and I couldn't find him. And I said, Dad, Dad. And he said, I'm here. I said, where are you? He's on my roof cleaning straw off my roof. I said, are you crazy? Get off that roof. He said, I've been climbing all my life. I said, please don't climb on my roof. But he didn't let where he was in life define him. You know, if he'd have fell off the roof and killed himself, he'd have fell off a happy man. I wouldn't have been happy, but he died doing what he wanted to do. Jabez believed that God would bless him. Do you believe that? Or do you believe God's busy blessing somebody else? We do that sometimes. We think, well, God will do that for them, but he wouldn't do it for me. I had somebody tell me after I had my accident, he said, you know, you didn't deserve that. And I said, I didn't? And he said, no, you didn't deserve that. I don't know why God would do that to you. He could do it to me because I deserve it, but he ought not do it to you. I mean, sometimes people think they deserve something bad to happen to them. How's about thinking maybe you deserve something good? If you believe in the grace of God, you believe in the goodness of God, you believe that God loves you and cares about you, why not believe God to do something good for you? You know, just change the way you think about it. Don't get old before your time. Don't get old before you have to. You know, they're talking about the new age. You know, I'm believing the new age. If I'm climbing up on 80 this year, I'm believing the new 80 is the new 40. You know, I believe I'll be young enough to do things I could do when I was 40 years old. I'm doing pretty good so far. You know, now, if I die tomorrow, you can say, oh, Morris, he didn't know what he was doing. Trust me, I died a happy man. You know, just believing that things are going to be better tomorrow. And if they're not, I'll deal with tomorrow when it comes, but I'm not going to live that way. I believe that God will bless you. I believe God wants to bless you, and there's no reason to live in a life that doesn't have that. God determines your future, but a lot of your future depends on how you pray. I am not a Calvinist. You know what Calvinism is? Calvinism believes in predestination, that every day and every moment of your life is predetermined. I don't believe that's true. I don't think the scriptures teach that. I believe that just your salvation is predetermined. When you become a believer, you're predetermined to be in heaven. But your daily life? If I believed that everything was predetermined, I'd quit God right now. Because he knew that I was going to fall into the motor of my boat, and he could have done something to stop it. No? People say, why did God do that to you? God didn't do that to me. I got out of the boat. I had enough sense to know not to do it, but I did it anyway. You know, it's my stupidity, not God's. No, God wants to bless us. And think about God wanting to bless us, and God cares for us, and God will answer your prayers. If you don't believe that God will answer your prayers, why don't you go find another God? Because the God you're praying to is worshiping is not the God that I know. The God that I know answers prayer. If he said, if you'll ask, what's wrong with this statement? Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do for you. Is there anything wrong with that? Are there any limits to it? Now, we say, well, I prayed and God didn't do anything. Well, maybe you need to pray some more. You know, just, do you quit? You got grandkids, you got kids? Did your kids quit when they wanted something from you? They never quit. How do you think my daughter got all the stuff she wanted? Because she never learned how to, she'd never say quit. I mean, she just wouldn't quit. She would nag me and then say, all right, let's go get it. Funny story. She was begging me to teach her to drive, and I kept telling her, no. So finally, when she said, you know, it was time, she was old enough, I said, okay, I'll teach you to drive today. Her expectations were to get in the car and drive around town. The first thing I did, you've heard me tell the story, I gave her the keys to the car, made her open the trunk and change the tire on the car. You know, that's learning how to drive. You know, you got to know how to change the tire in the car. So maybe God will teach you. You'll ask for something, and he'll get you changing the tire, but his plan is for you to learn how to drive sooner or later. So sometimes he may not give you exactly what you want when you want it, but God is working in your life when you pray and you ask him for these things. He was living under the name of pain and suffering, but he didn't let it define him, and he believed that God could change that for him, and that he could live an honorable life. And he did, and we're still talking about it today, thousands of years later. Finally, Jabez gave thanks because God answered his prayer. And here's his prayer. Let's read it again. This is so simple, you can memorize it if you've never done this. It's a great prayer. He prayed to the one, he was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. We've talked about that. Expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. God heard a prayer of faith. A prayer, you know what a prayer of faith is? Prayer of faith is trusting that God will do what's best for you when you ask him. And if you don't get the exact answer you want, you trust that God is answering your prayer anyway. That's what a prayer of faith is. And he was asking for a whole lot when he asked for it. He didn't ask for just one thing. He said, oh, that you would, trusting that God had the ability to do it. Not if God's able, but that God would, that God has the ability to do it. He asked that you would bless. He said, would you bless me? We need to be blessed. We need the blessings of God in our lives. You want to get encouraged? Go read Deuteronomy chapter 28. I can't even say it. And see the blessings of God. You'll see the curses of God. They don't apply to you, but you'll see the blessings of God. Go read those blessings of God and apply those to your life, and ask God to cause those blessings to come to pass in your life. Listen, y'all laughing. You can't say Deuteronomy either, can you? I had to teach you how to say humpapa ratio, but he believed that God would bless him. You know, in the New Testament in Christ, we're already blessed with everything, all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. That's what it says in Ephesians. We're already blessed with all spiritual blessings. That's in the book of Ephesians. You can go read that for yourself. Father God pours out blessings upon us that you cannot contain. He'll fill your wagon so full of blessings that you'll have to give them to somebody else. Asking God to bless you. Jabez asked that you would expand my territory. You probably won't believe what I'm about to tell you, but it doesn't make you holier to be poor. It makes you miserable being poor. The guy who invented the Learjet, I saw him one time, and had some businessmen who had success and failure, and they interviewed him, and they said, we know you've had a lot of failures in your life, but you've had some successes. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I've been so broke. He said, I owed more money than the world owed. He said, and then I've been wealthy and had more money than I could spend. And the guy says, well, what do you think about that? He said, oh, rich is a lot better than being poor. It's a lot better to be rich than it is to be poor. If you need things, ask God for it. There's nothing wrong with asking God for things. I've told you all the story. I asked God for $10,000 that I could give it away for a gift. And you know what? My partner and I prayed about it for several months. $10,000 showed up. We didn't know that we didn't expect in our business, and we gave it away. That's okay to ask God for things. It's okay for God to ask God to give you a new car. It's okay to ask him for a new house. It's okay to ask him for a new set of clothes, a new pair of shoes, a new toothbrush, whatever you need. Just ask him for it. He's a God that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And somebody wise said, and we keep asking him for it, one hamburger at a time. Just ask him for a big old heifer, you know, to come out of the crowd and send something big in your life. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you're in a position in life where you have all that you need, well, that's great, because then you can start giving it away. The scripture said, God, don't make me so poor that I have to beg, and don't make me so rich that I forget about who you are. So somewhere in there is where we need to live, and to live that kind of a life. But it's okay to ask for more. It's okay to ask for your Social Security to increase. No, it's okay to ask for Aunt Mabel to kick the bucket and leave you $1 million. That's okay. If Aunt Mabel's 95, it's time for her to go anyway. You know, she's getting up there in age, and maybe that'll show up one day. You never know. You could be like that movie, Brewster's Millions, when his rich uncle that he didn't know he had kicked the bucket and left him $30 million. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Oh, you could play the lottery and win $30 million, but your chances of doing that, it's like shooting a gun up in the air and a bullet going around the world and coming back and hitting you in the head. It's just not likely to happen, okay? And he said, this is part of his prayer. He said that you would be with me. That you would be with me. You know, the thing that gives you more thanks than anything else is knowing that God is with you. That his presence is there. He never leaves us. He never deserts us. God, that you would be with me. God promised to never leave you. And Jesus said, I am in you, and you're in me, the Father's in me. You know, we're all connected in this big love feast, and God's not going anywhere. He's never on the other side of the universe. He's always as near as you want him to be in your awareness of where he is. He said, he asked him for favor by being with me. Jabez, this is a good prayer. Keep me from trouble and pain. That's a good prayer. We'll get some joy out of that. And Paul said that happened to him. They just keep him from getting too puffed up about the things that he was involved in. That was between him and God. I don't know. But if you got sickness, ask God to heal you. We got testimonies in this room of God healing people. So it's okay to be healed. And it's okay to ask. And it's okay to go on and ask tomorrow if he doesn't do it today, if God does give you tomorrow. I want to close with this thought. That's something I heard from Joseph Prince. He was in Los Angeles preaching, and he said this. Talked about, herein is, this is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is sinless in this world, and so are you. Jesus is seated with the Father, so are you. It says we're seated with him in heavenly realm. He is righteous, and so are you. You have the righteousness of God. He is healed, and so are we. He is glorious, and so are we. He is risen, and so are we. He has Father's favor, and so do we. We have all of these things going for us. There's no reason for us not to be thankful. For somebody who doesn't know God, some murderous, heinous person in the jail, they may not have anything to be thankful for, but as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got much to be thankful for. So be thankful for what God has done, and remember that God has finished what he starts. He determines your future, and he answers your prayers. That's the God we serve. Amen. I'm sorry. Let me give you a microphone so everybody can hear what you're asking me.
I'd like to give it. Is it on?
Yeah, should be.
I'd like to give a testimony regarding the prayer of Jay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I moved back to Louisiana back in 1996.
96, okay. Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that, Mother gave me a book called The Prayer of Jabez. And I read it. And I got a job working in New Orleans, where I realized people needed alterations because everybody wore suits. Mm-hmm. The gals needed their skirts shortened. The men needed their pants taken in or hemmed or something. And so I prayed and asked God to bless me and expand my territory. Mm-hmm. I had clothes hanging in the office on the coat rack like crazy from people who wanted their clothes taken care of. I would come home with 6 or 7 outfits, and I'd bring them back all ready to go in garment bags and whatever, and I assured them they would have professional work done. And so he did expand my territory. There was a little dress shop down on Charters that I used to go to and just browse through at lunchtime. I got business from them. She would call, the owner would call me, and she'd say, "Fran, I have a customer who needs alterations. When can you come by and pick them up?" So I would go on a break or at my lunchtime and have them try it on. I'd pin it, and I'd bring it back, hang it on the coat rack, and take it home and fix. So he did expand my territory. Then I started having individuals that lived in the French Quarter that found me at the hotel. And so it worked. The prayer Amen. Of Jabez worked in my life as well.
Amen. Great testimony. If you need a raise, ask for one.
One thing more. Then I thought, you know, this is going to be a little business for me. I needed to have a name for my business. What would I call it? And I thought, and I thought, and I thought, and I thought. Every time I pray, I get 2 or 3 more outfits, you know. Mm-hmm. So my name of my business is Kept in Stitches. Because he kept me sewing, so I called it Kept in Stitches.
Kept in Stitches. I love it. That's great testimony. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Do you want to say something? Come up here.
It's going to be hard for me to say all this, but I'm going to anyway. When I was in my accident, and when I saw my angels, one angel, I said, "I have a life to live. Take it. Don't worry about the pain," because I had 20 fractured ribs, a broken hip, and a bone sticking through my shoulder. And I'm laying there on the ground, but the problem was I was looking at my body on the ground.
Wow.
A lot of you people probably heard my testimony before, but that testimony came from my soul. This man here and the one over there, Al, they brought me faith. But they gave me a reason to live. Mm. You too. my favorite lady. This is very hard for me to speak in front of people, but I'm doing my best.
Amen.
The Lord told me, or the helper of the Lord told me, as I was standing up and looking at my body, you have a job to do. You go back and you take care of it the best you could. And at that time, it was my mother. And I took care of her for 7 years, and she passed. And then, in that time, I came here, and this man gave me more faith than you can ever realize.
Thank you.
My life was nothing before, even though I had good jobs, made a lot of money, and worked at the power plants as an electrician. But this man, he taught me a lot to believe in the Lord. Believe him with all your might. Without that, you have nothing.
That's right.
Thank you for this time. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Thank you. Wow. Hallelujah. Much to be thankful for. Let's all stand. Whew. I think we're all going to have a pretty good Thanksgiving. I feel pretty thankful myself now. I done preached myself happy. So, by the way, next week, my good friend, Bruce Olivier, is going to come, and he'll be speaking. And one of the reasons I asked Bruce to come, first of all, I really like the guy, but I really trust him. He's a believer in the message of Christ that I teach here, and he'll bring a good message. I promise you, if you listen to what Bruce has to say, you'll be built up on your most holy faith. So try to be here if you can, if you're in town, that you can hear Bruce preach. I know you won't hear me, but you know, Bruce, it's the same word. In fact, Bruce uses a lot of scripture when he speaks, and he'll really encourage you. So he and his wife Judy will be here next week. So, and I'll be in Florida, and I'll see you when I get back, safe and sound. All of you, be safe and sound. Yeah, I'm keeping that. Okay. With that said and done, y'all ready to go home? Go to lunch, wherever it is that we go. I'm gonna do something out of the ordinary here for me. I'm gonna ask Miss Becky to close in prayer.
Oh, Lord, we just thank you so much for this body of Christ. We thank you so much for your life that you gave for each one of us. We thank you for this time of year. We thank you for family and friends that are going to gather together this week, and safe travels as we go forth. And, Lord, most of all, we just thank you, God, that you gave us our lives. And
yes,
we want to honor and adore you with our lives. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.